Today's episode of Robinson Podcast is sponsored by NatureBox. I love the NatureBox. That I am a busy guy who is doing a lot of podcasting. I don't have a lot of time to get to the grocery store, so I do a lot of snacking. And instead of getting tempted with chips and cookies and junk, I much prefer to avoid that guilt with better snacks like from NatureBox, because they've got tasty snacks that they deliver made with simple ingredients that get sent right to your door. It's like America's care package, and you'll always have something better to snack on without feeling guilty, at least not about what I've eaten, maybe what I've done with my life, but not about what I've eaten, because they have over 100 delicious snacks to choose from, ranging from healthy to indulgent, no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Everybody knows I love the dark cocoa nom noms, the pistachio power clusters. You can't go wrong. They've got a million different things. Here's how it works. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Just pick your snacks and you enjoy. One of the best things about NatureBox is the variety. They've got all these new snacks, something for everybody. And unlike the traditional food companies that take between 12 and 18 months, NatureBox can launch a new snack like that. It's OTT. And if you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. It's like Victor. You get it out and you get a new one right in there. Right now, NatureBox is offering two free snacks. You go to naturebox.com/RHAP. So avoid the guilt and go to naturebox.com/RHAP to get two delicious snacks for free. This offer does not last, so go and get your snacks today. naturebox.com/RHAP for two free snacks. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who thought perhaps the most drama in tonight's episode came out of what are Jeff and Jordan going to name their baby? I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our final Thursday eviction show of the season as we are here on the home stretch, 13 days until the finale of Big Brother 18, and maybe even more importantly, only, what, 20 days until the premiere of BBOTT? That's right. It's
yeah,
all
you
happening.
Know me.
It's all happening. All right, we've got a fun show tonight to talk about everything. Again, not a lot of intrigue with this who's going to go home with this eviction. And then maybe even less intrigue with this HOH, as Corey got off to a huge lead out of the gate. It doesn't look like anybody's going to be able to catch him. Again, I have not looked at anything from the live feed, just based on what I saw. And hopefully there'll be an upset, or Corey at some point will just go to sleep or get distracted or something like that. All right, great panel tonight. Jordan Parhar is back with us, host of the reality TV Happy Hour. Jordan, how are you?
Rob, not going to lie, I was really bored with that episode and was not too happy that I missed Broncos Panthers to watch it, but I'm thrilled to be on the podcast with you and my soulmate, Soldier Brent, tonight.
So. Soldier Brent, yes. You.
Yes. Yeah, you like that? I can't remember who did that on Twitter. I'm sure Jordan can, but whoever did that, I love that.
It was Will
me.
From America.
Yeah,
there was a few people. Will Seaman was one
of
them.
Yes, he did one.
A couple other people.
He did the video.
A lot of great people.
I showed it to my parents. I think that's the first time they've listened to hip-hop rap music in a long time, and it was very cool, so thank you for that.
Yeah. All right. So we got a fun show. Look, doesn't matter if the show is good or not. We always have a fun podcast for you. Hashtag RHAP. Also on our YouTube channel at robinsonwebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, if we get a winner in the HOH contest, we will give you that update following in our live feed segment later on in the show. So kind of a, pretty by the books eviction. So why don't we start off with some more exciting news in terms of Big Brother 18, at least as it pertains to RHAP, that we haven't said this officially anywhere yet, but in 13 days, we will get to the finale. And I will not be able to bring you any live coverage of the Big Brother 18 finale. I will leave those duties up to Jordan Parhar. Jordan, congratulations.
Thank you, Rob. I just want to thank CBS, and don't forget to watch MacGyver 8/7 Central Friday nights. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, the reason for that is that I'm going to be attending the live Big Brother 18 finale, and we'll be going into the backyard to get interviews with the BB18 contestants, but not live. We will not be streaming that interview live, but we'll have the podcast version and the YouTube version of those videos up, hopefully as soon as possible. So be on the lookout for that. And also, by proxy, I will not be able to do the Survivor Know-It-Alls for the Millennials versus Gen X premiere. We will leave those duties up to Stephen Fishback and Josh Wigler for the premiere, and then we'll get into all of our regular Survivor coverage following on that Thursday. So it should be a very fun night. I'm very excited. I've never done this before. I've never been to this version of the Big Brother house. And so I'll have that opportunity, unless they cancel me at some point between now and then. Always a possibility. But as of now, I'll be going to the finale to go see it live, which I've never seen a Big Brother taping live. And then also to do some interviews over in the backyard and meet these fools on the night that they get out of the house. So it should be very
excellent.
Exciting. Yeah.
I'm very excited for you, Rob. People are always asking us whether or not we're going to get to go into the backyard. So I'm thrilled that you're going to be able to do that.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about all that. And then we'll get some good coverage and hopefully come up with some good questions to ask some of these people, because I don't know really what we're going to have to ask Bridget like on the night of the finale or anything like that. But we have a lot of time to figure all that stuff out. So all very exciting stuff. But I guess let's start off with our top story at this hour. Natalie ends up going home. And really, we got to see James. We said that he was going to win the America's Favorite Player last night. But maybe, Jordan, did he jeopardize that a little bit tonight? I thought that he did not come off looking great with Natalie.
Yeah, I don't think he handled that very well at all, playing the victim and all that stuff. Like, James, just
well,
leave
I was
it,
gonna
man.
Give up my game for you, but you know, now since you don't want to sleep in the bed with me, then I guess then I won't.
Right? Like, just so terrible. But you know what? I think it's people have short memories, they'll forget. And I think James is still the clubhouse leader. And I think a lot of people, I was getting tweets, a lot of people were saying that they felt bad for James still. So whereas I don't really feel bad for him at all.
Why? But why do they feel bad for James? He knew what this was. Regardless of what Julie Chin says, this was not a romance. This was not even a showmance. This was a no-mance. There was no romance here, people. James is a passive-aggressive idiot. He does not know how to play Big Brother. He gets whipped on women all the time when he comes in. And I can't believe that you fools out there are falling for this again. Do not vote for this man for America's Favorite Player.
Yeah. Boy, we talked about Natalie's big lie from last night.
MacGyver, not only is he pretty cute, it looks like such a good show.
Well, I thought maybe she might have topped that tonight when Julie Chen asked her this.
Is there a chance outside of the house there it turns romantic?
Honestly, it could. I'm not going to say yes and I'm not going to say no. It really depends on how we make it work.
Yeah. Right. I'm not going to say yes, but I'm not going to say no. I don't want to look like a total bitch. Like, wow. Oh, yeah. My God, Julie. You know, I thought Nicole's voice was bad, but Natalie, you know, she's right up here talking all the time, and she's always yelling like this, talking like, hey, Rob, hey, Jordan, how you doing? Oh, shut up.
Yes. Gary Johnson, is there a chance that you could be the president of the United States? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I'm not going to say no. It's possible. Maybe. Maybe. I'm not going to say it will happen. Definitely. Right? I will definitely not say it will happen. Please do not hold me. No, it will not. But I'm not going to say it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, did Natalie get PR training though for real before the show? Just because of all the way, like, I thought she was going to get very rattled when Julie was calling her out on the throwing James under the bus thing, but she kind of just, you know, pleaded the fifth almost. I don't know. I thought she handled that pretty well.
She took it in stride. I really do, because this is one place where I will side with Natalie on this one, because the whole, you know, her quote unquote throwing James under the bus, Rob, that was, you know, it was complete horseshit. It really was, because she was not, from my view, throwing James under the bus. She was trying to let Paul and Victor know, look, I made a bad call. I listened to something I shouldn't have listened to, and I really should have trusted you guys. That was my fault, as in Natalie's fault. I felt like she was trying to own her bad decision-making, not throw James under the bus, but other people saw it differently.
Yeah, Jordan, what the hell was she talking about when she was like, you know, me and James, we're like exactly the same. You know, I'm like, funny and silly, and he's like country and Asian.
Yeah.
Right.
Apparently Asian is now a quality.
Apparently. Yeah. I was Natalie, don't go there. But, you know what?
It must have been very awkward for Julie to say, all right.
That's so funny. I don't even think of Julie Chen as Asian, but yeah, you're right.
I didn't either.
I know, right? I just think of her as the Chen bot. Like, she's the Chen bot. Come on. You know, we know Julie. We love her.
Yeah.
Is there a chance outside of the house there it turns romantic?
Honestly, it could. I'm not going to say yes, and I'm not going to say no. It really depends on how we make it work.
No,
it really depends.
Definitely not
going to
say yes. Yeah. So, I don't know. But you know, thank God that this is our long national nightmare is over with the Jatalee. One thing we won't have to worry about is that 6 seasons from now, we won't have to worry about Natalie and James coming back and talking about baby names. They wanted
right?
to, like, yeah, Julie. I had a good name for the baby, but she didn't want to. Like, we won't have to worry about that.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, like you're right. I'm glad it's over because it was really hard to watch. Like you said, you noted, Alex noted on the podcast last night, James is so passive aggressive with how he behaves with Natalie. Natalie, on the other hand, has been leading James on. You know, I will not completely absolve her of that. And it was just very hard to watch both of them because you literally wanted to smack both of them. At least Corey and Nicole, you know, hate them or love them, they know what they are. They are, you know, friends with benefits in the house, and they don't expect anything more of that when they get out of the house. They're just using each other for company, for physical attraction, and that's it. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I would say that probably the thing there is, I think that for Corey, friends with benefits is probably the apt description, maybe for Nicole. And again, I don't know this for certain, that she thinks maybe something more. I don't want to really get into that too much here right. tonight. But in terms of that, the Natalie and James thing, okay, it's done. So, Jordan, can James do anything moving forward here?
Oh, of course James can do stuff. I mean, he's in a spot where I think he's almost, if he can get by this little bit here, I think he's got a really good shot at getting to final three. So, and I think based on what you said, I mean, and just what we saw on the show, and just by looking at all these house guests, Corey is going to win this HOH. And we saw those DRs tonight. I think that he's already got the wheels turning in his head, and same with Nicole, that they've got to target Paul and Victor. So unless things go a little haywire with this POV, and even then, I still think James is going to be fine. I don't think he needs to win this thing whatsoever. Could win this game. You never know.
Yeah, Brent, are you with me on this, that Corey's going to win BB18?
I don't know. I think there are some ways that it can still... Remember, he won't be able... Assuming he wins tonight, he's not going to be able to play in head of household next week. And I think he's going to look like a really ripe target. And Final Four vetoes typically involve, you know, days and remembering things and putting stuff together. And Corey by no means is an idiot. He's not an idiot. But he's a little above a potted plant in terms of intelligence. So hey. I don't know if he could win that. And I think he, you know, if you take out... Like, let's say we take out Victor this week. And I'm not saying that's going to happen because I have my opinions about that. But let's say you take out Victor. Now it's Corey, Nicole, James, and Paul left. And Corey is going to be in the pool of eligible house guests because he can't beat the head of household. I think, you know, he's got to win that veto or he's gone. I really do think that. Or Nicole, obviously.
Well, depending on if either Victor or Paul goes out this week, which I fully expect to happen at the final, at this week's vote, I'll be shocked if that's not what we're talking about come Tuesday night. But that being said, then... one of them would have to be the sole vote to evict. Like, I don't think that James or Nicole would be the vote to evict Corey in that spot. Right, Brent?
Right. I mean, like, there are a couple things. First of all, Corey has to win. You know, I'm just saying he, you know, he is a big guy and he could slow down. You know, he was moving really quick there in the beginning, but I've seen in the past where it looked like people were trucking along and then, you know, it's a long competition that's probably going to go on for an hour and a half, 2 hours. So there's that. So he has to win, number one. Number two, it depends on how he does these nominations. He has said on the feeds earlier this week that he was going to put up James and a quote unquote pawn in Victor. But ideally, Corey and Nicole want to take James to the final three. So they might make it look like they're using Victor, let's say, as a pawn. But if that person who's off the block, meaning Paul, wins veto, obviously some wonky things can happen there. It's a lot's going to depend on how they do the nominations and if the person off the block wins the veto.
Jordan, the one exciting thing, the one saving grace, I think, in all this, where it's been sort of like a boring 2 weeks in a row where you had Big Meech going home and she didn't realize it. And then you had sort of James and Natalie sort of resigned to their fate and nobody was going to really talk to them about strategy or potentially, you know, there was no way out for them. This, I think you're going to see some major fireworks on the feeds if you get to the point where Corey or Nicole or wins the HOH, and then they put up one of the sitting ducks without James up on the block. I think that they're just going to lose their crap.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And I think that this veto in particular is going to be there's going to be a lot of anticipation building up towards it. So
pissed.
Yeah, it should be a fun week. I'm excited. It's about time. I mean, I feel for Alex and Brent and Taryn having to watch feeds the past 2 weeks because it must have been insufferable. And now hopefully you guys have something entertaining to watch.
Yeah. Brent, are you looking forward to the fireworks at least?
I am. Gosh, I mean, I'm looking forward to a couple things. You know, did Paul and Victor make the correct decision this week in evicting Natalie? Now, I know that they didn't evict Natalie. I know Corey and Nicole had the power to do that based on the nominations and that they were 2 votes out of 3. But did they make the correct nominations? I think that can be argued. Maybe they made a bad call here. I don't know. Also, going forward, I think that it's important to remember that, you know, you're getting so close to the money, so it. I have to believe that the house guests are worried about jury threats at this point. I'm wondering if they're worried more about jury threats or people who will beat them in the comps. And I really do think they're more worried about jury threats, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the jury house that we had a jury segment. We got to see Big Meech go to the jury. Brent, to the surprise of absolutely no one, Zakiya and Pauly got back together. Look, Rob, I'm telling you, women cannot resist Califiori on the jury.
Right? Look, this wasn't a surprise to me. People are outraged on Twitter, I saw, but this was not a surprise. I mean, like, he's the only good-looking... Well, he's the only boy there, let's be honest. He's the only boy there. He has history with Zakiya. Devon certainly isn't going to hook up with him. Bridget isn't going to hook up with him. Zakiya is thirsty. She's been thirsty from the get-go. Now there's no cameras around. You really expect that they're not going to get back together? I mean, this is predictable. Yeah.
I decided to rattle her every now and then at the jury house.
It is what it is. They cast a thirsty girl to play Big Brother, and this is what you're getting.
Yeah. It's terrible. And so what are you going to do? But so predictable, Jordan. But you know how it goes in the jury house, right? You know, hey, look. There's no live feeds. What are you going to do?
No, there is no live feeds. A lot of things do go down. But you know what, Brent? I think I kind of disagree a little bit. I think with the last segment we saw of Zakiya, she was really pissed at Pauly. And, you know, I think I had my hopes up that she was like, she was done and she was good. But,
honey. No.
Brent, I'm a naive young lad. So maybe, you know, and I guess all the fans are
she
too.
She forgave his sins over and over again. Even when she was like, as you say, you know, even when she saw the light, supposedly, it was still sort of like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I see that now. Oh, okay. But I mean, there was never any conviction behind it. There was no passion behind it. I mean, she always wanted to be with Pauly. Now she has her chance.
Yeah. No, I don't know how Zakiya can ever be, you know, come walk away from this and see these tapes and be like, I'm glad America got to see this.
Yep. Yeah, bad look.
Terrible look.
Yeah. My standards are not high after this. Basically, you can sort of just go, I'm willing to overlook anything. It's a sad story.
I'm here to judge everybody and pass judgment on them, and I will sit on my mountain on high and do so.
All right. So Big Meech ends up coming into the jury house, and not a ton of fireworks, but Big Meech is really such a hypocrite. And again, she's fun because she says things, but you know, she's like calling everybody on the house. It's like, you know, I just thought that they would take out the bigger threat. And so it's like, you're kind of insulting yourself there by saying that you actually are not a threat and not good at the game by calling out everybody for being so stupid to evict you and leave Paul in the game. And then she's also like going after Nicole constantly, talking about how she's just floating her way to the final two, which is not even an accurate thing, where she's not floating her way to the final two. Stop, Big Meech.
Right. That's total projection. That's Meech projecting. Meech was the one who was floating her way to the final two. She didn't even campaign the week that she was nominated, and she knew she was in danger of going home. It just boggles my mind how much she doesn't see reality. She sees the reality that she wants to see. She doesn't see what's really happening in the game.
Jordan, should Big Brother have also cleared up the Big Meech is not Dan Giesling's cousin-in-law? Do you think that they should have had her? It's like talking about, like, I just said that just to get in their heads.
I mean, who even like heard that? I mean, to be honest, like most everyone knows, like the people, the fans that are actually paying attention know that that's completely ludicrous. And then the other fans that are like the casuals that are like not even paying attention, you know, like Betsy Sue in Alabama, she probably didn't even hear that. So, you know, it's so stupid. Michelle, why? Brent, why did she say that? Did you ever figure that out on feeds? Did she explain that? Because I just don't get where that came from at all.
Well, what are you talking about? Michelle saying what?
Sorry, I was reading the chat room. Cousin thing.
Oh, I don't know. I think, like I said, we surmised on our, but look, I said this on the Thursday night show last week. She, you know, we saw this season that she's not all the way there. She's not all the way a grown up yet. She still has issues she has to deal with. She doesn't feel great about herself. I think she has confidence issues as a woman in this world. And I just think she wanted a little more attention on her way out the door. She felt like a big loser. She felt like she had been, this is the thing, she felt like she had been had. And there's nothing worse in the Big Brother game or reality television than when somebody you hate, and she doesn't like Nicole, when Nicole got her and she got her good and it bites, and she wanted to lash out and create a little attention for herself.
Well, don't
make
worry,
herself
Brent,
feel better.
We're bringing somebody in to ask the tough questions on finale night. I'll get to the bottom of this. Big Meech,
all right,
can you please
good
tell
deal.
Me?
Yeah,
can
I
you
forgot
tell
about
me
that.
Why did you say, are you actually Dan Giesling's cousin-in-law? We need to know. Wow. I'm not going to say that I am. I'm not going to say that he's not. I'm not going to say.
Oh my gosh. Hey, what's Rob, what's a more useless lie? Saying that you're Dan Giesling's second cousin or saying that you're a kindergarten teacher when in reality you're a nurse?
Yeah. I don't know. Probably still saying you're Dan Giesling's cousin-in-law. Like, oh my God, that really does changes everything. It was Dan Giesling's cousin-in-law was here the whole time.
Wow. Oh, geez, shut up.
Yeah. Cody's brother was here and Vanessa's sister and Dan Giesling's cousin-in-law.
Hey, can we really talk about the I was struck by the jury house and a couple of the people who I was on our feed show with Jordan and Taryn and Alex, and Taryn was saying that he thought that Davon would be campaigning for Nicole, and I said no. And here we see on the show that Davon is very much in favor of Nicole. I mean, she says, I have a beef with her, but girl is running the game. And I think that Davon was really impressed that Nicole got up there and broke the tie. So, I mean, I know Nicole didn't want to break the tie, but I think this may have worked in her favor.
Yeah, good for Davon. She is the mayor of the jury house. And I think in that official role as the foreperson of the jury, Jordan, does she hold any sway over the other people in the house?
You know, normally I would say, and we discussed the HOJH the last time I was on the show. You know, I would say normally not so much, but I think maybe on this season she has a little bit more sway because the people on the jury respect her. She's, you know, she's a motherly figure per se. So I think it's a little different when you have someone like that in that role. So yeah, I think maybe people will listen to her, but ultimately I kind of think everybody's just doing their own thing on the jury. Nobody really has that much power.
Yeah. Except Paulie over Zakiya.
Yes, exactly.
Look.
Right.
You got to vote for who I'm telling you to vote for. Or when we get out of this house, I'm never going to speak to you again. We'll be nothing.
Yeah, but that was totally predictable. So, you know, if you're a good Big Brother player and you're trying to adapt to the game, you should know that Paulie and Zakiya are going to vote together. You should expect it.
Yeah. Okay. I want to get to some questions here in a minute or two. Anything else from today? Anything we want to talk about with Jeff and Jordan? I thought that was a little scandalous that we got into the actual conception of the Gijo baby, Brent.
Right? I was a little confused about what went down and in what order. It was sort of like, I guess she got pregnant in, what, January, I guess? And then they got married. They went to the courthouse in March. And
we really got a whole play-by-play on that.
Yeah, I know. That was very cool. I mean, look, I will say this. It was good to see Jordan. For the first time in my life, I saw Jordan as a woman, and I've always seen her as a girl on Big Brother. She's always seemed to me like a girl, even when she was, you know, 21, 22, 23, whatever. She seemed like a young woman, and it was nice to see her a little bit grown up.
She's a mom. Yeah.
I know, but she's grown up. It appears that she's a little more worldly. When we saw Jordan on Big Brother, you know, she was from the small town. She worked at the hair salon. You know, that was her life. And now it looks like, and I say this in the nicest way, she has some work on her face where she's seen the world and she's lived a little bit longer and she has more experiences now.
Wow, that's what I'm
trying to
say.
This is like a whole
story. I'm just saying, I was nice to see from Jordan. I see her as I've always thought of her as a girl, and it was she was all grown up to me.
Yeah. Okay.
I get deep, Rob. I'm a deep feeling person.
Yes. All right. Jordan, do you have any picks for baby name? What do you think of Godfrey Schroeder?
Oh, Godfrey. I would love that. Then you could call it Godfrey the Lady Please Schroeder. I think that would be great.
Oh my God. That's such a great name.
That's Jeff's kid. I think that would be pretty fitting. Sailor. I don't understand. I mean, I don't know.
That's such a Jordan name.
Sailor Schroeder.
Yeah. For me, like, I think this might be, you guys are probably a little too up there in age, but you got Gen Xers.
Okay,
but
for the
millennials out there, there was a Japanese anime show back in the day called Sailor Moon.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's all I was thinking of when she was like, "Yeah, I want to call it Sailor." I was like, "Sailor? Sailor Moon Schroeder? I don't know.
All right, let's brainstorm a little bit. Chat room, I need some help on this. We need some good names for a boy from, it could be Big Brother related. Mm-hmm. Brent, you got anything?
I don't have anything at the moment. The chat room has got a few, they said Brent's a good name, which I agree with. I like that.
Brent's a good name. How about
my brother Cody?
Yeah.
My brother Cody, exactly.
I think Devin is a good name. We should throw that.
Somebody
in the
said
mix.
Dumbledore. Get out of here, Megan, with that. GTFO with that. That's terrible. That's terrible.
I was watching some True Blood earlier today. I'm like Godric. Godfrey made me think of Godric. I've always thought Godric was a good name. Yeah, Godric. Yeah. It's like it's a strong
Schroeder?
Name. Godric Schroeder. Yeah, Schroeder's a little. Yeah, you're right. It needs to go with Schroeder. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew in the chat room says MacGyver.
MacGyver.
Oh, I remember there was a whole episode of MacGyver where they revealed his first name. It was like a Cosmo Kramer type thing.
That show doesn't look bad, but maybe it's just me. Sorry. Yeah,
what are you, Natalie?
MacGyver's Natalie, right? He's pretty cute. It looks like such a good show.
I know the guy who plays MacGyver, he plays Havoc in the X-Men movies. So that's how I knew him. I was like, I know that guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
What about Devin?
Yeah,
Devin Schroeder.
I was saying Devin. Yeah, Devin Bro Schroeder. I think that kind of flows great. You could go with that.
Glenn? The chat room says Technotronic. I love that. I love you, Karen, for that. That's so great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Dalton Ross had tweeted that also earlier today. Jose?
Jose, Glenn, those are good.
So many good names. Go.
Ixnay on the Jose nay.
All right. So let's get into some questions. Also, get very excited for Sunday night. Donnie Thompson is going to be our guest on the podcast. Let's ask him about what he's thinking about his BB16 housemate, Nicole. So we'll check in with Donnie on Sunday night on the podcast. Looking forward to that. All right, let's get into some questions. Mike Bloom, laughing at Shelltown, another suggestion. Mike Bloom says, do you think that Julie telling Natalie the time when James lost trust in her was fair to do? Yeah, she really gave her like the paint by number of like, yeah, the reason why people are saying you threw James under the bus was actually, here's what you said in the house. Jordan, do you think that was in bounds?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like a little off of what Julie would normally do. And it was, I don't know if the purpose of it was Julie was trying to make Natalie look bad by saying, look, Natalie, you did throw him under the bus. You were lying. You're terrible. And just burying her even more like the edit. Or if Julie was just trying to clarify things for the audience. So I don't know. It just seemed really weird to me.
Yeah, Brent, do you have a take on this?
Yeah, I think she was trying to clarify things for the audience. My take on it only, because James and Natalie both have been fan favorites this season from the audience's standpoint. I just think that you know, it was lost on Natalie why, you know, people said she was throwing Victor and Paul. Why did they think that I'm throwing James under the bus? And I think that she wanted to clarify it for them. Having said that, as to the tweet, I do agree that maybe it's a little bit out of bounds, because Natalie has been hot to trot about Victor and Paul, you know, saying that she threw James under the bus because she was like, I would never do that. But how that came about was sort of lost in translation. So now that Julie has clarified this for her, you could see Natalie's wheels turning, like, well, oh, I could see how maybe somebody could perceive it that way, but I certainly didn't mean it like that. So that may absolve Victor and Paul in Natalie's eyes of some of the misdeeds that she thought that they did, and she might like them a little better for it.
You know, also you had in the goodbye message that Paul was like, Natalie, you threw your boy under the bus. And so then it was going to be, and then it was going to be awkward where she's going to say, no, I never did. Why do people keep saying that I threw him under the bus? I never threw him under the bus. Right. That she gives a clear answer on, not dating James.
Right.
That didn't do. Brad Ass TV, I still don't know why everyone says Nat threw James under the bus.
Exactly.
She told him what she said afterwards in the bedroom.
It's all about perception. You know, you can say something in the Big Brother house, people take it one way, you mean it a different way, and it's perceived a third different way. So there are all sorts of things that you have to be clear about your intentions. People always think you have an ulterior motive. Natalie, I do believe this. I do believe this, and you can tweet me if you want, say I'm wrong. I do believe that she went up there with a hurt heart. She felt bad, maybe a little bit feeling sorry for herself, but she felt bad that she had betrayed Victor and Paul. You know, she was the head of household that week, so she could have done something to stop that. Having said that, her showman, James, did vote Victor out of the house. She felt bad about that. She said she got misinformation, that she trusted James a little more than she should. She personally wanted to tell them, I feel bad about this. I just want to let you know that. They took that to mean you're throwing your boy under the bus. That is not what she was doing, I do not believe.
Okay. Jordan, you want to weigh in on this? Brent is quite the Natalie surrogate.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did order what Brent said. I mean, I don't really have anything else to add on this. You know, I think it's been covered. And
I'm under the who cares package.
Yeah, the who cares package. I'm just saying that if she did what people think, which is throw James under the bus, then she would have done other things to continue that line of thinking, and she never did that. She just went into bed and, you know, cried herself to sleep.
Yeah, but not the bed with James.
Yeah, not the bed with James, exactly. Or he'll hold it against her.
I would have thrown my game away if you would have gotten in bed with me, but you didn't. So
he should have lost the game just for saying that.
Okay. Let's go to Jocelyn, who says, did Michelle telling everyone about Paul calling her a see you next Tuesday hurt his chances of getting jury votes? Now, will that be something that affects everybody? It seemed to really stick with Michelle, Jordan. Will other people, I mean, I think that it's not going to sit well with Bridget.
Yeah, no, definitely not going to sit well with Bridget. And yeah, I don't think it's going to sit well with any of the women in the jury house. Maybe Zakiya, because it seems like Zakiya doesn't have a lot of self-respect for even herself. But everyone else, I mean, that's even for me. Like, if I'm a dude in the jury and I hear that, and I'm like, whoa, Paul, that really, you know, you're crossing the line with that.
Well, so,
I
mean, I'm a big shock to everybody. But on the other side of the coin, I don't agree with you. I think they're going to dismiss this. I mean, this is, people get heated. They get upset. They say things they don't mean. Everybody in the house knows this. I think they'll absolve him of it. You know, they may want to, maybe they ask him about it. I don't know. Who knows? But I don't think that, I mean, they're not going to let a $500,000 vote be determined by some
fair,
word. That
fair, Brad, but it's still something.
Paulie's going to vote for Paul after he heard that.
Yeah, probably.
Finally, somebody is saying what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Jordan, I interrupted you, Jordan. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to just end on that. I hear you, Brent. I think, you know, every day in there, I mean, you forget things so quickly. But at the same time, I mean, you know, as more stuff comes out towards the end of this game, you never know. And if Paul's sitting next to Victor, I mean, when it's something where it's like neck and neck like that, I think people might, you know, a lot of times it's who do you like more? Who do you respect more? I think Victor already was looking better in the eyes of most of the jury members. I think if it ends up being a sitting Ducks final two, this can only help him even more.
Yeah. Well, you know that if it is Paul and Victor, you know, Big Meech will, you know, she can't wait to get up there. Like, Paul, you said to me that I was, and I now, who's this? She can't wait. She's already planning what she's going to say when she turns the key. Watch her. If anybody's going to pull a Topaz this season, it's going to be Big Meech, as she's like, she's got to get in her zing when she turns her key. She'll put the wrong thing in there.
Right, right.
I feel like Big Meech would do that on purpose almost, though, don't you? Like, that's like a kind of a Big Meech thing to do.
Yeah, I can see her wanting to get attention for something like that. Right? Yeah, I can see it.
Like, I'm literally the worst super fan in history.
Dan Connolly, is this season allergic to live quiz HOH competitions? Well, I think Eric Stein really laid out the groundwork for this when he was on, where they got rid, you know, we all complained about the food competitions, they're boring, or the luxury competitions. So now they need a competition to roll into that Sunday night. So I think that that's really been it for these quiz competitions, Jordan.
Yeah, I think this is, they're shifting how they're doing the competitions.
Corey.
Yeah. And
well, ironically, he did win one. He did win.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. I still feel like this is not the long-term solution, but I will take this over the have-not competition. But on nights like tonight, you know, it would have been really nice for us to, you know, we sat through that terrible episode. It would have been nice to just get something at the end, and we still got nothing. I mean, I guess we saw
that
Corey's
said too.
Yeah. But at least with this, you know, with Corey, we can see he's probably going to win, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Eric Colston, if Corey wins this comp, then he's going out fourth for sure, right? No, I don't see it that way. I know Brent was making the case that it's likely, but I don't see it.
Well, I don't look. I mean, let's just play it forward then. So Corey becomes head of household. Let's assume that they take out Victor. Let's just say that. Okay. So okay. Corey's in the eligible pool of people to be evicted at Final Four. He cannot be the head of household. Paul, if he's there, I think would evict Corey. And James, say what you want, but I don't think he wants to go to the Final Three with Corey and Nicole. I think he would rather go with two separate guys to make sure that he has a chance of being taken to the Final Two himself. If he goes with Corey and Nicole, he has to win out. Whereas if he takes Paul and Nicole to the Final Three and gets rid of Corey, then he has a much better chance of getting taken there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's anything is possible. Let's see how it goes. But I feel pretty good. I think that you're painting like a worst case scenario for Corey. I think that
I don't think I am. Look, okay, here the things we know. Assume Corey wins head of household. Done. He cannot be HOH the next week. He's in the eligible pool. Somebody there has to win the veto. If James wins it, he's getting rid of Corey because he doesn't want to go to the Final Three with a duo. Paul wins it.
Hold on, Brent. You are putting a very strategic move in the hands of James. Jordan, do we have any precedent that James will make a move like that?
I don't know, Rob. We haven't. Here's the thing.
He's going to say, you know, Corey, that's Texas code. Corey's my buddy, and Nicole's been good to me. So,
Rob, here's the thing.
He
voted.
He was friends with Victor, and they got rid of Natalie, and I owe it to Natalie.
We have never seen James actually play Big Brother, though, by himself. This is a new James. There's no woman in there to distract him.
He's still doing it for Natalie.
Is he still doing it for Natalie?
No. Yes. Look, I have a little bit of faith in him that this close to $500,000. Are you really going to be stupid enough to go to the Final Three with a duo? Are you really going to be stupid enough to do that? If you do, then you deserve to lose. Okay, well, then there we go. But I don't think he is.
He is.
I think he's too greedy, and he'll realize that if I get rid of Corey, Nicole has to take me, and Paul may take me.
Is he too greedy or is he too needy?
Yeah,
both.
What do you say, Jordan, needy or greedy?
Oh, James, definitely needy. Definitely needy.
Chat room, needy or greedy? James wins the veto at Final Four. What is he doing? I think he's keeping Corey and Nicole in the house. He's getting rid of Paul.
Look, the good thing is that if Paul's in the house, then he'll have a day and a half, 2 days to say to James, look, you can evict me if you want, but if you go to the Final Three with Corey and Nicole, they're taking each other. You're left with no money whatsoever. But, you know.
I gotta
we'll
do it for my girl. I gotta do it.
I mean,
for
but
my,
Natalie
my
was all over the place. Rob, you're putting words in her mouth now, in his mouth. Natalie was all over the place this week. At times she didn't want James to work with Corey and Nicole. She said she would never talk to him again. She didn't really want him to work with Corey and Nicole, but she gave him permission to work with whoever was best for his game. So I don't think he's doing anything for Natalie at this point. I think it's all about James.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a good plant the flag moment on this that I think 100% James is still 130% even James is still trying to do what's best with Natalie, and he's going to stick with Nicole. He's got a final two deal with her. I heard it the other day, Brent.
Well, that's people just talking out of their ass when they don't know. I mean, Evil Dick's been tweeting that all season long. I've never
seen that
Nicole and James have a final two. Someone yelled over the wall earlier this week, as you guys talked about, that there someone with a bullhorn yelled over the wall that James and Nicole have a final two, which obviously is not. It's not true. There's no evidence in the feeds that
when
I've
Nicole
seen that they've ever talked
about
that.
When Nicole votes out Corey at final three to take James to the end, that's when I'll believe Nicole has a final two with James.
Well, maybe. I guess. I mean, they've mentioned it like way back in like week one. Like, it'd be good for us to work together. But at this point, he knows that she's going to the end with Corey. Come on.
Right.
He's not a complete idiot. He's a total idiot, but not a complete idiot.
Who? Which one?
James.
Oh. Okay. JP talks BB. Yeah. Why didn't Jeff and Jordan get a baby present from Julie? Does she like Brenchel baby better?
I think she might also too. Did you notice she didn't even did Big Jeff get to say like anything that which it was really refreshing. I'm not complaining, but
he got to talk Big Jeff.
Yeah, it was more Jordan was more in speaking in long sentences and exposition, and Jeff was like, yeah, okay, cool, yeah, or no we don't have a name yet.
What did Julie present Brendan and Rachel? This is the one night Brendan's not in the chat room, I feel like.
Yeah, she gave him a gift.
Brenchel
they got a gift pre-baby being born.
Yes.
That's correct.
And
but
then
frankly,
the baby was wearing it in the little segment this season.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was the Brenchel baby. Come on. Like, the Jeff and Jordan baby is the whatever baby. It's just, you know, if you're second, you're last. So not all of that important to me.
All right, if you've got a train leaving from Pittsburgh at 3 o'clock, and then there's a guy in Michigan who's going to get on a hot air balloon at 5 o'clock, what color is the... We've got riddles ready to go. Logan Elliott, what's the best strategy to win this HOH competition? Jordan, do you have an idea on this?
If you're really tall and lanky, that helps in this competition.
Tall and lanky.
Right, yeah. Can we just talk? I'm sorry. Look, I'm going to throw shade at Big Brother for a second, and my chances of going down, of getting on the show are going down by the minute, but this is so predictable. Really? The slip and slide competition again? Right now? I mean, I could have predicted before this competition even start that Corey, I mean, like, Taryn on Twitter 2 or 3 days ago was talking about Corey winning the slip and slide competition at the final five. Like, this is, come on, mix things up.
You make
up
it sound like
little.
That. Oh, if even Taryn can predict that this is going to happen.
Well, and not for nothing, but on the few minutes that I watched it on the show, it is not very slippery. It is not very slippery. No. I mean, you can move. Corey looks like the Flash going up and down the place. So yeah, whatever. They used the wrong mix of stuff to slip up the floors, and it's like walking on a regular floor at this point. Paul has fallen a couple times, but whatever.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting for me.
Mark Torp says,
"Wait, did you like it in the jury house when they showed the veto competition and Polly was like, oh, Corey's gonna love this Christmas competition?" Like,
yeah, very exciting,
right?
It's very exciting.
I feel like you're just so loved.
He's so loved. All right, Mark Torp says, could the Executives Alliance be considered one of the greats? 4 out of 5 made it to the final. Hold on, what is the Executives Alliance? So I guess that this is going to be Corey, James, Victor, and Paul.
And I'm sorry, I must also throw shade on Nicole in her goodbye message saying, you know, sorry, Natalie, you know, if you're out there, then that means I'm the only girl left. And she didn't look too happy about that. Bitch, you've been planning this all season. You wanted to be the only girl left. You've told us on the feeds. She, look, Rob, she has told me on the feeds. She said to the live feeders, you know, I want to be the lonesome girl this season so I can be dragged to the end. So she's planning this whole thing. So kudos to her.
Yeah. All right. Brent, if you're there, then this is what my plan is. I want to be the only girl left.
It's what she's doing, I'm telling you. I was glad
Holy
to hear it.
Crap.
She doesn't usually talk to the feeders, so I was glad for it.
All right, El Anonymous says, who deserves more credit in Nicole's success? Nicole's paranoia or Corey's invisibility. I don't know if it's necessarily Corey's invisibility, but he is like a steady presence. I don't think it's necessarily that him being invisible. Jordan, do you have a, if you were going to sort of like do the autopsy of if this is a successful Big Brother pairing, it's just like, you know, it's sort of like I think that she's, Nicole's the jockey and Corey is like the trusty steed.
Yeah, it's a good analogy. I mean, I don't know. I kind of do think Corey's invisibility does help
like it's
them
ridden
because he's so boring. People forget. They're like, it's like Shane on Big Brother 14, you know, you see, or Drew on Big Brother 5, you know, Danielle gets with Shane, gets all the way to the end. Diane, she's the jockey with Drew and Big Brother 5 goes to the end. But if Corey was a bigger personality and he was, you know, trying to blow stuff up and, you know, was more aggressive, I don't think that they would be able to get by scot-free as far as they did. So I don't know. I do think that's a factor.
Okay. Brent, anything else on Corey?
I mean, yeah, I agree with what Jordan said. I mean, he's a very likable guy. He's pretty inoffensive. You know, I know he had a rocky couple of first weeks with us live feeders and the people that watch the show as far as some of the things he said on the feeds in his life, but that quickly died down. He's been so vanilla, so boring. I mean, he doesn't earn the nickname Bory for a reason, people. So, yeah, whatever. You know, when you're inoffensive in the house, people tend to get along with you. That's just how the world works.
Okay. This is from Gary Hogan. I miss when Julie exit interviews were more BB2 Kent honesty and not a play for America's play. Boy, you know, I've been talking about Big Brother for a long time. I'd be very hard pressed to remember what went on in Kent's exit interview with Big Brother 2. Brent, anything?
I'm intrigued. I want to go Jordan? Back and watch this right now.
I imagine it had something to do with his friendship with Bunky and alternative lifestyles, but even I do not know.
Yeah, what went back on there. In Big Brother 2 and Survivor, they always cast like the homophobic asshole and then the gay guy and they put them together.
Here's what we
deal.
Need. Alex Kidwell, tweet Dr. Will and ask him about what went on in Kent's exit interview. And then we can find out. Hopefully he can respond to us and let us know about that. All right. Edward Morris, Edmo, does it ever make sense to go for the smaller container? Jordan, you have an idea on the strategy on this?
Well, I don't even know. What is this? The smaller container? Is that just
unlock the bigger shovel?
It gives you a bigger scooper. If you fill up the smaller container, it unlocks a much bigger scooper for you to use.
I mean, I didn't look too... It depends on the size of it, so right. I didn't get a good look at it.
It's
right?
always
I mean,
about the size, Jordan. I'm just telling
size
you.
Size matters,
not
Brent.
Not the size of the scooper. It's what you do with it, Brent.
Thank you. It's what they tell me.
If you're someone like Corey, though, I would say, you know what? If the smaller one with the big scooper is available, you go for the big scooper, and then, you know, you can just plow through everyone at the end with the big one. So...
is that what he's doing? Is that what his plan was this season?
It's a good strategy, and then no one can come back from
just
that.
Just plowing through everyone?
Yeah, you just plow through them all, and then it's over.
Okay. Brent, do you like this more when they do the bowl that has the prize, like the, or you could fill up this bowl and get $10,000, or is nobody going to do that with only four people in this competition?
I think James certainly would. If he was talking about earlier today throwing this HOH competition, and also for, look, I mean, you could tell within 2 minutes of this competition that Corey was most likely going to win it. So if you're somebody like Nicole or James, or maybe even Paul, you know you're out of it, you might as well go for the smaller thing. So I wish there was like some safety thing that would have been interesting, and they also could have had like $10,000 that would have been great. $10,000, $10,000, whatever. I'm sure they could have come up with something new, but you know, I wish there was more intrigue in this competition because we kind of know how it's going to go.
Is the contest still going?
No,
it's over.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, should we? Let's do one more question, and then we'll go do the live feeds. Okay.
Why?
Sam A. Mifflin, I don't know what that was. Sam A. Mifflin says, Vic could literally say, you evicted me, now I'm evicting you to every single cast member of BB18, not to Paul. We know, Victor, is this getting old? Is the Victor shtick getting old?
I mean, a little bit. I'm a little tired of hearing it. And like, you know, Julie Chen said on the show tonight, you know, Victor is almost unstoppable. I'm like, honey, he's been evicted twice. Like, he's not unstoppable. You just keep giving him twists to get back in the house. That's all that is.
Yeah. All right, then. And before we get into the live feeds, I just got to take a moment and thank a sponsor, DraftKings.com. The NFL kickoff is this weekend. If football's your passion, you know all the players and teams, their strengths and their weaknesses. Now you can put that knowledge to the test to play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. Part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in the week one contest, because DraftKings is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season long commitments. And if you're like Natalie, the last thing you want is any commitments in your life, especially when it comes down to showmances. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You could renew the old rivalries by challenging your friends and family to a private league to prove you're the superior GM, or you could join an existing league, go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. That's this weekend. Use the promo code ROB to play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB to play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest, only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for detail. All right, so let's get into talking about the live feeds, because Donnie Thompson coming up here on Sunday night on the podcast, and we'll have our live feed update on Friday afternoon. But here we go. For the final time on a Thursday, let's get into talking about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are we on, when we do BBOTT, Jordan, are there going to be spoilers? We play the spoiler song, or is everybody that's watching going to be on the live feeds? Are people only going to watch it on Wednesday? I really understand what's going to go on.
Yeah, I would say we probably don't need the spoiler song, right?
We don't even know.
Well, I would be bummed that we don't get the spoiler song anymore. On the other hand, I'm tired of putting up with like the 5% of people that don't listen to the spoilers and like catering to them. So I would much rather do it like that.
Hey, we'll cater to everybody. We cater to all, Brent.
Fine, be that way. Okay, cool. So,
all right,
we have a new HOH. Do you want to know who it is?
Yeah, who is it?
It's Corey.
Oh my god!
Wow!
Oh my gosh! This is so exciting for me.
I will say that as far as the, I couldn't say this because we were still in the pre-spoiler section, but as far as going for the bigger scooper or not, Nicole went for the bigger scooper and she almost caught up to Corey, which would have been hilarious because that really might have changed things going into the final four. But as it stands, Corey is the new head of household and I predict that he's going to nominate James and Victor unless... What he should do is nominate Victor and Paul, and I say this to you seriously, because he should just explain to the two of them, look, I'm still with you guys, but you know, it's five people here, we're all playing for the veto. Either James wins the veto and he's going to come off anyway, or one of us wins the veto, we'll take you down and James will go up. But I just have to guard my girl, and I don't want her to go up as a replacement nominee because you guys have a final two together, and that's out in the open. So, you know, I wish he would do that. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to make the weaker move here, which could come back to bite him, which is put James and Victor on the block. You know, Paul might pull out a win in Final Five veto. And if he does, Paul will be faced with a really interesting position because he must either veto Victor off the block and put Nicole up, or not veto Victor and pray to God that Corey and Nicole are being up on the up and up with him. I'm just saying they're really stuck in this Final Four thing, and I really think that they might overplay their hand here, but you never know.
Brent, I have to disagree with you because I think you're asking Corey to not be Corey at that point, where it's like, here's a really complicated, convoluted plan, and his appeal in the house is that he's a simple guy. He doesn't piss anybody off. He's a bro.
Okay.
He's just going to do a solid. They have a Final Four deal. It's like, okay, we'll put James up and then one of these guys. And then the problem for him is he's going to have to break a tie and then ultimately kick out a bro.
Here's the thing, though. Nicole will realize this. Okay, there's only five people left. She can say to Corey, look, we just need to have a talk with him and say, look, we're trying to protect our duo. We don't want to, you know, put them in a bad spot where they have to veto somebody off the block. And now I go up as the replacement nominee. We can sell it to them like that. And, you know, like I said, you know, I don't want to repeat myself, but like Nicole her blockitis will rear its head here, and she will realize that the better option for them is to put the duo on the block together, not get cute by trying to put James and a quote-unquote pawn on the block and then vote out the pawn.
But they can't sell that. This isn't James and Natalie where they're going to say, like, well, okay, well, if we go against the plan, then they're going to get mad at us, and then we can't do that. If they try to say that to Paul and Victor, then those two guys are just going to flip out on them. And
they're going to flip out on them then. Yeah, they're going to. I'm team Brent on this one. I mean, it'd be stupid not to do that if you're them. Yeah, fine. You have some Final Four thing going on. But guess what? As soon as James goes next week, you're 2-on-2 anyway. So why not just protect yourselves, make sure the two of you are going to Final Four together, and worry about the rest later. I think Nicole is not going to let that happen. I'm with you.
Exactly.
You're tipping your hand to that the deal is off. The Final Four deal is off point.
Where
you do that. So basically that you've won the HOH here, and before you even do anything, now it's a preemptive strike, and now it's you basically just tip off to Paul and Victor that Monica Bailey once said, it's on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Rob, I just think, like I said, Corey, he's going to realize that his girl is in danger if he doesn't make the right nominations here. And he's in a really bad spot because now she'll be evicted and he can't play for HOH. So he doesn't want to make a bad move. He's smarter than you think.
But that's only if that Paul and Victor are going to turn on them. We don't have any evidence that they are going to turn on.
But they don't know that. You're right. Paul and Victor aren't going to turn on them. They would rather get out James here because Paul has
Victor are going to say, look, we're with you guys. We want to get James out. That's the plan this week. This is the Final Four. We're the Final Four. That's the name of our alliance is the Final Four.
But Nicole is panicky. And Corey, you know, he's a better gamer than you give him credit for. And he will realize that this is the better move. I mean, let them be mad, but it's the better move. You can still vote out James if you want. But of course, I know you're saying by then we've tipped our hand, but I think there's a way that they can sell it. But yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they can sell it, but I do think they should just go ahead and do it anyway. It's Final Five. Take the risk. Bring in James. James is an asset. If you're Nicole, especially, I feel like James will take you to the end. And I think Nicole can kind of get in Corey's ear and go ahead and do this. So,
right. I feel like you need to cut the cord. I agree.
Yeah, that's the move. Yeah. You put them both up. And it sucks because I'm a big fan of the Sitting Ducks, but you know, it makes the most sense.
But I will say this though, Nicole does not like confrontation and Corey not so much either. So I'm a little bit team Rob on this one too, because I do agree.
Fancy Fencerton.
Exactly. Right. All on that title. I am because I think that there's a chance that Nicole and Corey might chicken out here. They might say, oh, I really don't want to do that. They're such nice guys. Let's just put James and them up and then we'll deal with it. You know? And hope that Paul doesn't win the veto.
Do you potentially open the door where then if you declare war on Paul and Victor, then do they possibly go to James and try to swing him back and say, hey, we're not a showman, so you can go with us and we should go to the final three.
I don't think
James
it'll work.
Is needy. He'll stay with Nicole and Corey.
Needy or greedy?
Needy, needy, needy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and say, hey, remember Natalie said don't work with Nicole and Corey. Remember, she said she won't date you then. You don't want to blow it. You're this close, James. You're this close to dating Natalie. You're right there. You're on the 1 yard line.
Yeah, and somebody else, JJ in the chat room brings up a true fact. Corey's a little stronger than Nicole about confrontation, and that's right. You know, Nicole doesn't like confrontation. Corey's a little bit better about it. You know, once he gets his dander up, as I say, like he'll have it out with you. So, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm very intrigued to see what these nominations are.
Should be interesting. Should be an interesting couple of days. And again, not a full week. Tuesday is the eviction. They're probably going to turn off the live feeds, what, on Monday, Brent?
Probably, yeah. Monday to Tuesday. Or maybe, I forget. Is it Monday to Tuesday? That they'll be down? Yeah, Monday to Tuesday. Yeah, exactly.
Some must-listen happy hour on Monday night, Jordan.
Yeah, it should be a really fun show. I'm sure we'll be... who knows if we're going to have anything to talk about? I'm sure something will come up, but I'm looking forward to it.
Just so you know, like at Final Four, because there's only three people competing, they almost always do that before and after competition. And so if they, you know, if pattern holds here, you're going to finally have a quiz here at the Final Three or Final Four rather.
Yeah, so let's just talk through the schedule over these next couple of days, because the pace is really going to pick up here over the next couple of days. So on Sunday night, we're just going to see a straight up, we're going to see the HOH competition, and we're going to see the nominations. And then on Tuesday night, we're going to see the veto
end the eviction to get down to four.
Right.
And then on Wednesday night, it's going to be the whole show is going to be a veto nomination or an HOH eviction. Veto yep. and nominations.
Yep.
Right. But when we come back from after the show airs on Tuesday night, when the feeds come back, they will already have played the Final Four veto at that point. So we will, and HOH, so we will already know at that point, maybe even in the spoiler section of the show on Tuesday night, what's going to happen the following night.
Will we get the Final Four HOH in the Tuesday night episode, Brent?
We always have in the past, yes.
It's like the thing where they're sort of like in, like they nobody can see, and there's right. like we're seeing like the overhead like peace sign of like before and after, right. and that's usually what they do.
Right, and that and takes then, place like on, that takes place on Monday, and then they usually have the Final Four veto in the house on Tuesday while the feeds are off. So like I said, when they come back Tuesday night after the show airs, somebody will already have the veto, everything will already been decided, we're just waiting for that person's decision on Wednesday night.
And then Friday night, we will have our clip show, right?
Yep, with the booths and various
I've already
things.
Asked Matt Hoffman to join us again for the clip show, but he's looking doubtful for Friday night.
It may have the beginning of part one HOH. They may show the beginning of part one HOH.
And then my only other question is then, is there a show 1 week from Sunday?
According to the schedule that I have from Big Brother Network, no, there is not.
No, it's okay. Then we go to the finale.
Wednesday finale, yes.
Right.
All right. So we'll have a big four episodes of Big Brother coming up next week, and then after Wednesday, then that is going to be it for Big Brother for 7 days. We'll be back with the BBOTT preview show.
I'm down Friday. With OTT.
Oh my God. When are we going to preview BBOTT?
I can't even believe it. Just dawned on me. Like, we're going to say congratulations to whoever and immediately go right back into this. Oh my God.
Yeah. Also, one other thing to correct. I have to issue a retraction. Last night on the show, I did report that there was going to be a new house for BBOTT. And I was called on the carpet by many people, including Hamster Watch, about potentially being not actual factual on that. And I do have to issue a retraction. The same thing happened to me in the preseason when I reported that Julie would not give the... Sometimes there's these... So what is there, like an onion, Jordan, that prints the BB onion?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. There's
some sort of click hole right. of BB news that
BB
just...
BB fans, they started that rumor. Somebody started that rumor that Julie... The big twist is that Julie's not going to reveal the vote total, and we were all
well,
like...
How about this? Also,
that.
And then could people also in the Robinson Podcast patron group not post these fake stories? This is where I get a lot of my news from.
Yeah, well, you gotta talk to John Johnson about that.
John? I don't know if it was him. But that being said, yeah, I have to issue a retraction on that, because I'm not thinking like, oh, maybe let me go do my research on this. You know, you gotta do your research, Jordan. Always gotta do your research.
Yeah, it's right. It's the Michael Scoopin rule of life.
Oh, you sometimes you get burned. Yes. Okay. All right, and then it's an unhappy ending to that story as well. Okay, so lots of fun stuff tonight. All right, chat room, start working on the hashtag. We got a lot to do. We'll have our update on Friday. It might be a short update on Friday as we try to figure out what's going to happen with these nominations and ultimately talking through what's going to happen with a renomination. And then, of course, we'll be back on Sunday night with Donnie Thompson to talk through everything, plus all the Big Brother coming up this week. Plus, it's a big Survivor week as we get into next week, where we close in on the last full week before Millennials and Gen Xers. We're going to talk to Angie Kontz about character types. Corinne Kaplan is going to come through the podcast as well with her binder to talk about the Millennials and the Gen Xers. So plenty to do, plus all the Australian Survivor that we have going on, and that's just on RHAP, plus all of the wrap-ups of Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro talking about the latest Mr. Robot on post-show recaps. So a lot to do. A real smorgasbord of podcasts right now, Jordan.
Yeah, they're really. It's September, man. There's so much going on, you know. The fall TV shows are coming back. Football's back. So, like, I've got Woo-hoo! Other podcasts I'm listening to. So, you know, lots of other stuff going on. It's great.
Yeah. All right. So let's go with hashtag needy or greedy. I want to shout out in the chat room. One of the funniest things I saw in the chat room tonight was from NTS23X, who said of Natalie that they could call her a typical jury girl.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Very good.
Oh, I like that. That's great.
All good stuff. All right. So, Jordan, you will be back on Monday Night Live with the LFC. You can follow at Jordan Parhar. So, looking forward to that. And so, only what, 2 Mondays left in this Big Brother season?
Yeah, 2 Mondays left of the LFC Roundtable Happy Hour show. So, that'll be fun. And then I guess we still have to figure out what the game plan is for BBOTT, but should be fun. So join us Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Jordan, what do you guys have planned for the off season of Big Brother on the Monday in between BB18 and BBOTT?
I was thinking, well, I think that Monday we could dedicate a preview to or something. Maybe a Millennials versus Gen X Survivor preseason draft as well. So, stay
you
tuned.
Need the BBOTT track.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we got to fit that in there too. I don't know, Rob. It's school's back. Got to do that. It's just like, so it's too many podcasts. It's crazy.
Too many. Too much stuff going on. All right. And of course, Brent is on Twitter at One Lucky Gay. Brent, anything else you're excited about?
No, I'm doing great. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 is also airing tonight. I'm going to go watch it after this podcast ends. And me and Mike Bloom and Allie Lasher are podcasting about our Ru caps. And they usually come out on Sunday night or Monday morning. So be on the lookout for those.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Be on the lookout for our Friday update. And looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Subscribe to the podcast. Robinsthewebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Bye.